Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
We're going to just in a moment go into the Word. I'd like to say a couple things maybe before we open up the Scriptures. And we have an administration here called Christian Temple Ministerial Association. It's kind of what we umbrella everything in, our church and printing operations and our evangelism and mission work, and we don't do much. I'll be the first to testify when I think how good my God's been to me and gave his life and gave everything and shed every drop of blood out of his veins for me to have life. And when I compare myself to him, I could say I don't do much. Amen. But I do can say that we got a brotherhood here that we do make a sincere effort to try to help and to follow the leading of the Lord and make ourselves available. And, you know, we help people throughout different countries and lands. You know, with the media today, there's a lot of things that are happening, just like on our internet services here. We have people viewing from many states and even other countries that write us and different things. So it's a great blessing to have you tuned in with us this morning by the way of the internet. And we welcome you to be with us. And just because you're at home, that if we're worshiping and standing or praising God, that you could do likewise and the same. And we don't limit God by moving through the airways. We do know that there's reports when we pray for people. Amen. And sometimes have people stand in proxy that the Spirit of God moves many hundreds and thousands of miles and people are set free. And we are a small church, yes, but we do believe in all of the same things that the apostles had available to them are available to us this day. And we don't believe that there's a differences in the early church and what it should be today. Our God is the same to every generation. Amen. And we happen to preach the gospel and believe that he is the same. We don't use modern day interpretations of the scriptures and these new writings of the Bible that are watering things down to make it a little less offensive maybe. A homosexual is still a pervert and a homosexual because that's what the Word of God says. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of these kind of things. So I'm not going to make the adaptions and call them gay, because that is a sin according to what the doctrine in the Word of God. The Bible said we cannot call evil good. Anything that puts a man or a woman into hell is not good. Amen. So gay is something that would be happy and something cheerful and something. And when you're on your way to hell, you may think you're happy, but you're not. So I'm just saying we just keep things cut and dry the way it should be. We preach the gospel. And you say, well, you're better off to put a millstone around your neck as offending a little one. A pervert, a homosexual, a sodomite, a lesbian is not a little one. They're lost. And they need to be offended. Amen. Until they get right with God. Somebody needs to let them know. Amen. You say, well, you'll never win them. Your way isn't working. So don't tell me my way doesn't. You know, we could bless them and love them and make them song leaders and let them be in the presbytery or ministry or whatever. That doesn't work. You know, the churches have taken their youth programs and they think, well, we want to get youth, so we're going to start a football team. We're going to start a baseball team. We're going to do this to get them. It isn't working, church. It's not working. They need to come to the house of God and learn about the Word of God and learn about the Bible and learn to be men. We need to take children and start teaching them what it is to be a man and what it is to be a proper woman, a Proverbs-type woman, a virtuous woman. You know, I had a mother tell me, said, well, I raised them up in the way that they should go. I don't understand why they're out in the dope and out in the world. And I said, that's the problem. You didn't raise them up the way that they should go. You raised them up sitting in front of a television. You raised them up and let the TV be the babysitter. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Look at your culture. Look at America. And then you tell me what's wrong. That's Satan's airways. We just sang a song about Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, where's his kingdom at? You know, what is his kingdom? We say, where's Jesus' kingdom? We say, the kingdom of God is within us. And some could say the kingdom of Satan is within them. You know, a minister can come with the anointing of the Lord. He could come with the Word of God. And you could leave dead and dry. You say, well, you know, not if he's a good preacher. No, you have to have ears that are open to hear the Word of God. You got to prepare yourself to receive the Word. You know, this isn't a ritual of just coming to church. Do you realize that if you were in an emergency room and you had your mother or your brother or somebody laying in there, an ICU hooked up to machines, and you know they're laying in the balances, and you're sitting there thinking like, oh my, well, let's pray now. heathens start praying, the ones that don't believe in God, they'll sit and argue with you about the existence of God. But when mama's laying on deathbed, all of a sudden they get religious. Can you all pray? Why do we water everything down? They're on their way to hell. So we could water down and call it, make it nice. You know, well, she's just kind of a loose girl. You know, she's a whore. You say, that don't sound right, preacher. And I said, well, that's what we need to do, start learning what's right and what's wrong. And quit watering down sin. You know, somebody needs to be straight with these people. Say, you need to get right with God. You need to get born again. You say, well, you're not going to do it through your harshness. Well, what you tell that to Jesus when the woman comes seeking after the healing for her child. And he said, this isn't for the dogs. Come on now. That's what our Lord and Savior said. And when some of these religious highfalutin folks come into his presence and stuff, he called them snakes and vipers and hypocrites and slow bellies. Come on now. He called them blind leaders of the blind. So don't tell me that I'm not talking right. I'm using biblical terminology. When you use the word gay, you're the one that's sinning. I'm using biblical terminology. It's a pervert. It's sodomy. It's an abomination, the Bible says, in God. And we don't call evil good in this church. I don't know about that. But let's deal with things. Let's get right with God. That's what we're going to do. Amen. You know, the thing is, our purpose isn't to get people off drugs. Our purpose isn't to get people out of immorality, if it's perversion, if it's sexual sins, if it's pornography, if it's witchcraft, if whatever it is. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to get people born again. You can get a man out of alcohol and you get a man off drugs and he still go to hell. He ain't accomplished nothing. Maybe when he was on drugs, he knew he was on his way to hell, but maybe he gets off him, he feels okay, like, I'm okay now. But there's none good, the Bible says. So we got to get born again. I look for people that have a desire to serve God. I look for people that want to love the Lord. I want to see people that aren't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like to see people that like to let the people know when they're out in public that, hey, I'm a peculiar person. I'm different. I'm not going to do things the way you do it, and I'm not going to act like you. I'm not going to dress like you, and I'm not going to look like you. Christians ain't supposed to conform to the world. The Bible said, come out of the world, be a peculiar people, be a separate people. We got to come out of the world. When you look like the world and talk like, we had this guy come to church with long hair. Bible said it's abomination, isn't it? Come on. It's a shame is what it says for a man to have long hair. Well, if it's a shame for a man to have long hair, then if I'm going to call myself a Christian, I'm going to get me a haircut if I got long hair. Brother George had a guy come with a beard, and he said, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And he goes, that means on your face too, sir. He was like, hey, I never heard that one. Yeah. I thought I was doing pretty good. I was bald-headed up here, you know. But you know, brethren, the Word of God is for us to receive it and learn it and quit trying to make it fit our lifestyle. Let's get in the Word. Don't try to make the Word fit what we want to do and how we want to live. Let's get in the Word and let the Word be real. Let the Word be true. The Bible said, let this Word be true and every man be a liar. You know, we got to get right with God. We got to get out of religion. You know, in my testimony, if some of you have read it on the internet, if I said the most powerful spirit out there. You know, one say, well, I think that drug addiction is a strong spirit. Man, that's a cakewalk. I mean, you know, if you're going to be fighting something, if you're going to be fighting demons and stuff, let me tell you, them little drug demons are little sissy demons. They're, you know, any man that's empowered by drugs is a sissy. He thinks he's tough, he thinks he's macho, but he's a sissy. Let some little devil take his spirit and run his life right into hell. That ain't no man. You know, I had a vision of a man running from a chihuahua. Big old guy, man, running from a chihuahua. And I'm thinking, dude, turn around and kick it. And man, he's a kicking it, boy, getting away from that thing. Well, that's what I think about a man running from a devil. You know, come on, realize who you are. We're men of God, man. We got all authority and all power over the serpent, and we need to take our rightful place. And you say, well, you talk offensive. That's good. I hope you're offended. Maybe you'll get right with God. Amen. But you know, we got to take authority over devils. But I was talking about these demons of religion. The strongest devil you'll ever deal with is a religious devil. And it's a spirit that comes to you and you say, well, I'm born again. I don't care what that preacher says. I know that I'm born again. I said the sinner's prayer. You know, and I asked Jesus in my heart. I had a man with a whore under his arm. You say, why do you call her that? Well, she was with a married man and that wasn't his wife. That makes her a whore, doesn't it? I mean, a whore's a whore. A pig's a pig. If I go out by the pigsty and it's squeaking and squawking and rolling in the mire, it's a pig. Is that right? Okay, well, a woman is with a married man and it ain't her husband. That's a whore, ain't it? Okay, let's just get black, black, and white, white. Amen. And this man that had this woman under his heart, he's about 6'2 or 3. Some of you have met him. He got this woman under his bed, and he's breathing liquor all over me, drinking. Got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And he looks at me, and he had his arm around her, and he looks down at me. You know, and I'm looking up at him. He said, you know, preacher, it really don't matter what you got to say. He said, I know that I'm born again. He said, if I died tonight, I would go to heaven. And I looked at him because I don't deal with drunks. I don't minister to drunks when they're drunk. I get them sobered up and then we'll go to the word. Amen. And I said, all I can say to you, sir, is the Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And my Bible also says that no drunkard is going to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. And the thing is that no harlot and no whoremonger is going to make it. So when a man's active in those things, he can say the sinner prayer all day long. He can confess Jesus as his Lord and his God until his voice is gone. He could shout his name, he could sing, he could come to church, he could dance, and he could shout and swing his arms, and he could holler hallelujah, praise God, but he is on his way to hell. My Bible says that they prophesied in his name, they cast out devils in his name, and he looked at me and said, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity, depart from me. And the Bible said they were taken and cast into the outer darkness. Amen. Oh, but they seem to have the works of the ministry. They were healing people, prophesying. We got to get in the word, brethren. And you know, the thing is if somebody's doing something that's going to put them in eternal damnation, love says, hey, you know, let's get this thing fixed. You know, we say, well, I want to love them into the kingdom. Well, love is going to let people know that their lifestyle is going to put them in darkness and damnation. That's love, saints of God. We got to love people, yes, and help people. It's one thing to rebuke people and reprove people without offering a hand to help them. That would be wrong. You know, my pastor told me, he said, if you're going to present a problem, have a solution. Well, there's a solution for the problems that I bring forth from this sacred desk. Amen, and it's Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before I go reading the scriptures here, I want to say some things to you about America that you're living in. Before I start to say this, I want to first clarify a couple things with you. You say, well, brother, I know you're an American. You were born here. You know, I could say that I've had family members that have shed blood on foreign soil for the freedom of our country, walking across Europe. Some of them were there at D-Day and things, and they carried wounds and battle scars through the rest of their life. So I could be very patriotic if you want me to speak as an American. I don't like to see people burning the flag. I think it's a shame that we would even have laws that we call that freedom of speech when we've had people shed blood for the defense of that thing. I think it's a shame that we as Americans would allow those things to happen. I'm not getting ready to go into politics by no means this morning, but I'm just talking to you as a man. I'm talking to you as American, okay? And I could say I could be all patriotic just as well as any of you can. And I'm expressing from my heart. I don't like to see people trampling something that people stood freedom for. But now I'm going to differentiate me from being an American for a minute. That's something that far supersedes and far more superior and far greater than being American. And that's a blood-bought, born-again child of God. That's what I am. When I start understanding that, then I say that I'm not of this world. You understand that? This world is not mine. America is not mine. I'm an ambassador, the Bible says. You know what an ambassador is? If you send an ambassador from the United States of America to Africa, he's over there representing Americans. He's an American living in Africa representing Americans there. Well, that's what I am from the kingdom of God. I'm an ambassador of Christ, and I'm here to represent Christian people to tell them their rights and what they are and what they need to be to serve our Lord and our God and to stay part of His kingdom. Amen. With that said, I'm going to speak to you about what's happening to your land. Now, for you won't be too offended with me when I'm talking about the failures of your nation. Now, I'm separating myself as an American and speaking as a child of God, a son of God. This isn't going to be the context of the message today, but this is a foundation to help you to understand the message today. The thing is that America's falling and failing. Now, you as an American might say, well, this is a Christian nation. If this is a Christian nation, I want nothing to do with Christianity. I'm sorry to say. If this was a Christian nation, I think it would be okay to have Jesus mentioned in our government, in our Capitol building, and in the public schools and things as such, but we can't. So how can we testify that we're a Christian nation? This nation is an abomination in the eyes of God. Now his own nation, now nobody here can contest the fact, because I could read to you in this Bible about Israel. Now nobody can contest the fact that Israel is God's chosen country and land. Okay, if he had one. There's more doctrine about Israel than anything. Okay? We could talk about the city of David, or we could talk about Jerusalem. And we know that this was a lot of bloodshed, and that our Lord and our God sent his people in, and he said, kill every man and woman and child and animal and beast. It says, leave no spoils, kill it all. A lot of bloodshed over Israel. A lot of bloodshed over Jerusalem. So we could come to an agreement that this was God's elect people and God's chosen people. You see, God has a natural elect and a spiritual elect according to the Bible. You understand that? The natural elect is Israel, and there is chosen people. Don't turn against Israel. I don't care what your nation does, what your president does, don't ever turn against Israel. I may not be in agreement with what Israel's doing. I may not be in agreement with what the Jews have done, but they've paid a dear price. There was over 6 million of them killed in World War II in a Holocaust because they said, let his blood be on our head and let it be on our children's head. Now, some of you mothers and fathers in here are doing the same thing to your own children in here. But it's in another dimension and you don't realize it. You don't see it and you don't realize it. And let me tell you something. When those Hebrew children or those Jewish people, and they're standing there saying, let his blood, talking about Jesus, when they're screaming, give us Barabbas, and they're screaming that, and he said, well, let his blood, you know, be on our head and our children's children. And it has been. They paid a price and it ain't over yet. Wait until this 7-year tribulation. The blood's going to go to the horse's bridle. But I'm talking about America now. Another dimension. I could talk about the great things of America. I could talk about how God stood with America when it was a handful of men standing against the strongest European nation, this kingdom that said the sun never set on. Talking about the United Kingdom or England. Said the sun never set on this kingdom. And when the sun went all the way around the world, that's how much land they had. England, it don't matter where you go, you know that England owned property. They used to own land right here off of our shore. 58 miles off our shore was England, the Bahama chain. You can go on down to many of these islands that it was owned by England that the sun never set on. And they send armies over here to fight against a few men that came over here for religious freedom. And God stood with them. So I'm telling you, God had his hand in America. The simple guy that found this nation over, Christopher Columbus, had to do with Christ. So many things, significant things about America and about God being with this. But they wrote constitutions to stand for Christian beliefs and things. But those have all been stripped away and taken down. As I was in Washington, D.C. just the other day, walking down in the Smithsonian, government funded. Government taking care of, government help. And they got a complete display about Buddha. And the government's going to support this and let everybody come in and learn all about Buddha, but we can't mention Jesus. I'm telling you, your nation is gone. It's fallen. That's why God put the black man in leadership named Obama. For you could see abomination. Black just represents darkness. Don't get racist on me. I got black brothers and sisters that are filled with the Holy Ghost and the most wonderful people you ever met. Dear friends of mine. I love them. They're dear friends of mine. But I'm talking allegories. Now, with that being said, I'm going to say a couple more things before Frank could go into this message. You see, when you look at things a certain way, let me read a scripture to you first that I phrase often. I speak oftentimes in messages to bring you into some understanding or helping you to. Romans, the first chapter, it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You say, what is that saying? Well, let me tell you something. When we look at the fall of a nation, it's something speaking to us that has far more significant than a nation falling. It has something to do with the heavens and the kingdom. It has to do with spiritual things. Now, the thing is we could take this for an understanding for a minute. And I could tell you this, that America's running the very same pattern of Israel. that Israel ran. Now, we know Israel fell. Now, if you don't believe that, you can read in the Bible that talks about Jerusalem, and it said it becomes spiritual Sodom. Now, you know what God done with Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody knows that, right? If you're any kind of ever been around the Bible or heard preachers preach, you probably heard about Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. And then our Lord, our God, says that Jerusalem, spiritual Sodom. And then he went on to talk about Israel, the nation, and he said, you've committed adultery under every green tree. They failed. You find as they come out of bondage of Egypt, they come into a wilderness, and it said that the land opened up, the earth opened up, and swallowed up thousands of them. Now, these are God's elect. So listen to me, Christian, with your ideology of, oh, Jesus loves me and Jesus loves everybody. He's sick of you. He's angry with the wicked and he's pursuing them off the face of the earth is what the Bible says. And you say, oh, God is love. He doesn't hate. But he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And they were still in the womb of their mother. We need to learn what kind of God we're serving. He says, I'll laugh at you on your day of calamity. He said, I'll laugh at you. So come on, we better start finding out what kind of God we're serving here. We're serving a mighty awesome God. I love the Lord, and He loves me, and He loves you. He gave His life for you. Yes, He is love. But we need to understand that there is an enemy of God, and He's angry with them. And you, with your professing your Christianity, could become the enemy of God. So we're looking here and understanding these invisible things of this invisible world. The Bible said the Father's invisible. And it talks about invisible powers and dominions and invisible principalities. We need to understand these invisible kingdoms and powers and authorities. Because many of you are being affected by this invisible force and you don't see it. Many of you are being affected by this inaudible force, but it's putting thoughts into your head and making you do stupid stuff. Amen. Am I the only guy that's ever done stupid stuff in this church? Come on, saints. You know, I think of Peter. You know, 3,000 were added to the church the very first day. 3,000. And I can look Peter in the face as my brother. Brother, I love you, man. I've been reading about you. Man, I just want to embrace you. But you sure done some stupid stuff. Well, don't you think so? When Jesus turned to Peter and he said, get you behind me, Satan. You savor the things that would be of the flesh. Has anybody in this church ever savored fleshly things? Come on now. Got a little bit of humility in here. Oh, I never savored no fleshly things. Son, you're sitting there dreaming about a piece of cheesecake now. You fleshly thing. Have mercy on me, Jesus. No. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God. And it's death. Just being carnally minded. Thinking on natural things will kill you and destroy you. So we got to learn to think on the things of God. The Bible said, think on these things, the things that are from above, the things that are virtuous, things that are godly, the things that are holy. Preacher preaches holiness, and you think, oh, he's ritualistic. Poor guy's all bound up. I said, yeah, this old bound up guy with no chains, I'm going to take them chains and use your chains to put you in the river and drown you or get them off of you for you can swim. Amen. Make the decision, you know, drop them off here. Look, you can stay bound if you want, but you're going to learn to swim with them things real quick. Amen. I love people. It don't sound like it, does it? Amen. People find fault with me, but I'm helping people that nobody wants something to do with. You understand that? Hallelujah. Come on, saints. People, they won't find fault with the preacher. And the preacher ain't got no spare rooms nowhere. He puts people everywhere he can. They do nothing. They sit around find fault with the preacher. And the preacher asks them to do something. They ain't got time. They got their own business. They got their own life. They got their own things going on. They ain't got time to do nothing, but they want to find fault. That's because they got a devil on them. I just real, you know. Just real, I'm sorry. You see, I believe in principalities and powers. Well, I know no Christian ain't going to be demon-possessed. And I say, I'll agree with that. But I'll tell you what a Christian can be. They could be oppressed by a devil. They get people that profess Christianity all down and bummed out. And, oh, man, you know, I can't do nothing. Who lied to you if you're a son of God that you can't do nothing? I could do all things through Christ. Amen. That's the confession I like to hear coming out of the mouth of a Christian. Okay, but I'm going back to speaking about where we can understand things. Everything that you see with these eyes has a significance of something from the invisible world. Now, I'm going to say some things here to lay a foundation before I can get in the Bible and do some reading. Now, some of you are older than others, okay? Some of you are elders. I happen to be a grandfather waiting on a great-grandson. And this grandson of mine over here been married, how long now, 2 years? And ain't got me no great-grandson yet? Is that sin, brother? Get up here, I'm going to lay hands on you. Bring your wife with you. No. But I'm saying I've crossed a couple bridges and swam over a little bit of water, I guess you might say. And I'm nothing. I'm the least of all of you. I esteem you greater than I am. But I could talk about observation and seeing things in this world and some things that changes. I could talk about my childhood. And I make statements like this. I say the 1960 public school system in the 60s had more virtue, more discipline, and more decency than Christian education today. I'm sorry to say that. I didn't talk back to a teacher. I didn't show disrespect, and I dressed the way they expected me to dress. In 1960, young fellas, you ain't going to walk in with your butt hanging out of your pants. Well, you shouldn't say that from the sacred desk. Well, I'm tired of looking at their old butt. You can call it what you want. Preacher, you need help. I know I do. Pray for me. I need all the prayer I could get. You could say that, but I mean, let's be real for a moment. I'm not going to be, vulgar here, and that may be vulgar, but I mean, it's vulgar to allow them to walk around out there and let school teachers let them walk into class like that. Somebody should say, pull them pants up, boy. And if you don't want to pull them up, that's when they need to get the paddle out. This guy's seen the paddle on his hind end in the principal's office. Huh? We wasn't supposed to smoke in elementary school, but I'll tell you what, my hind end been smoking a few times. Huh? Come on now. I've been whooped before. Now I needed it. I got by with a lot of stuff they didn't catch, and every time I got it, they should have kept on getting it. Bible said beat them, but don't kill them. That's what the Bible says. But they don't, see, that's gone. Now I'm talking patterns now. So I'm talking to you as a man that in the 60s they used to take us into the principal's office if we were chewing gum in class, if we talked back to a teacher, if we weren't performing like we're supposed to, and they'd whoop our hind end. That's gone. Okay, well, let's talk about the results of this being gone. Look at the children today. Let me tell you something. Let's talk about child abuse for a moment. Now, if you've seen me take a little child about this tall and backhand it with my fingers like that across its mouth, you're going to say that's child abuse. Well, I'm not going to contest that. I don't think that's the proper way to discipline a child. I think the proper way is to let them be like these 2014 kids and let their pants hang down a little bit and wear that thing out. Come on now. You might be a white boy, but you ought to look like a Cherokee Indian on that bootay when they get done whooping on your hide. Come on now. But let me say something here. And I still got my teeth. These aren't false. Probably need some, but these are the real guys here. But let me tell you something. I smart mouthed my mama. Son, she was faster than Sugar Ray Leonard, if you know who that is. I don't keep up with sports and boxing, don't like it, but when I was a young man, he was one of them guys that was supposed to be pretty fast with his hands. My mother could smack you in the face before you ever seen it coming. Pow! Okay, mama. Now, one would say that's child abuse. Well, there might be a better way to discipline a child. But child abuse is when the little sucker smart mouths you and you don't do nothing. There's your child abuse. And when a kid's at school and he talks back to mama or talks back to the teacher or the principal and they don't do nothing, that's child abuse. And our children are being abused in our nation because they haven't learned order, they haven't learned discipline. But that's just laying a foundation now. There's a reason for these things. They're showing up everywhere. You see, the Bible said that the pastors and these ministers, talking about the fivefold ministry, but it says that they're thoroughly equipped to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. But where'd that go? You see, the education system is showing this. We got too many Joel Osteens. Oh, God loves you. He wants you to prosper and be in health. Well, he's got Bible for that. But he needs to tell them the other side of the word also, that he's angry with your wicked self. They need to find the other side about being the chastening of the Lord and about the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the baptism with fire. You see, the old time preachers used to preach the gospel. They used to preach and they demanded respect in their churches. Children didn't come into church chewing gum. They didn't come in dressed irreverently. They demanded respect in the house of God. But now we've turned our churches into ball teams and sports and vacations. Take your kids off to the swim parks and a bunch of stuff. You know, they don't need to be doing those things. Well, we got to give them a vision and get them in. It isn't working. You're losing the generation. You're losing the youth. So I read here in the scriptures about the unseen things of the invisible world, the spirit world, showing up in the things that appear. The first failure of this nation is the church. The Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. Now we got preachers standing behind these, they call them pulpit. The reason the Lord suffered them, call them a pulpit, because they're pulling people into the pit. The Bible said they're ministers of Satan. That's what the Bible said. These ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light, but they're deceiving. And they're coming behind these desks and they're telling people, they call pulpits, and they're what they're doing. They're pulling people into the pit of hell is what they're doing. They're deceiving people. Satan is the master of deception. He deceived Eve. He deceived Eve. He beguiled her. And the same thing's happening. Preachers are getting behind these pulpits. We call it again a sacred desk. And they tell you that you can't judge. The Bible says that we that are spiritual judge all things. The Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. The Bible says that ye, the least of you in the church, the least of you, should judge any of these matters. And it goes on to say that you're even going to judge the angels. So when a preacher stands from a pulpit and teaches you can't judge, that preacher is of his father, the devil. Because it's false doctrine. The Bible said, judge not, lest you be judged in the same matter. So in other words, if you're a drunk and you're judging this guy in your religious hypocrisy, and you say, brother, you're going to go to hell because you're drunk, you brought that judgment on your head. But it didn't say that you don't judge. We have to judge. Preachers are getting behind these pulpits and they're saying that you're a sinner and that you sin every day. That is a lie from hell. I'm just still laying a foundation, okay? I was born as a sinner, shaping in iniquity, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, according to the Bible. But I'm a born-again son of God. And my Bible says, ye that sin are of the devil. Now, if I tell you that you're a sinner and you sin every day, I'm telling you that you're of your father, the devil. Well, how can I tell my brothers and the sisters that they're of the devil? I want them to know who their father is. I want them to have a spirit in their heart crying, Abba, Father. Amen? Yeah, you were born as a sinner, but Jesus Christ came and shed his blood and put away your sin as far as the east is from the west. Amen? You need to believe that. And you say, he's atoned for my sin. He's taken my sin and done away with it. And I am now a new creature. The new creature's not a sinner. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. The old sin nature's gone. It's history. It's over. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Can you believe that? So now how does a new creature talk? He talks in victory. He talks in authority. He talks in power. And he takes authority over the things of this world. So now we start differentiating. So I got an inner man, according to your Bible. I got an outer man. First man, Adam, was a living soul. The second man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. So I've got an eternal spirit man. I got this eternal spirit of Christ living in me that I become one with. One with. We become one with Christ, brethren. What does that mean, Brother Rob? Okay, now we're going to go on a little bit more. When we read the Bible, we read it as natural men. Okay? Now you're a man, and this is my wife right here. I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh, the Bible said. Apostle Paul made that statement. So you say, well, I understand that. I say, do you? Many times people think, why didn't it say, well, when the man and woman marry, they become one in the spirit? It said one in the flesh. And let's talk about America now for a moment. You know, some are older than I am, but I think back in the 60s, in childhood, you know, divorce was a terrible thing. You just didn't hear much about it. I was in a heathen home now. I know my parents divorced, but I was in a heathen home, and I remember it being something that would be somewhat shameful. But you know, pastors are divorcing nowadays and getting them another woman. And sometimes that woman, I'm sorry to say that they gets a whore, because that man's married to another woman, and that woman that he's married to now made herself a whore by marrying him, because he wasn't ever freed from the other one. I do know I'm not getting into some of those doctrines. I can go into the doctrines of marriage and divorce and talk about there is some people that are freed. But two Christian people cannot divorce. Absolutely 100% impossible, thus saith the Lord. It cannot happen. Somebody's a heathen. Somebody ain't got God's spirit, and somebody's in rebellion against God. And rebellion's a sin of witchcraft, and we know where that goes to and what happens. But I'm still laying the foundation of I'm going to go into scriptures. Why is America so high in percentage of divorce? I think in our military, the divorce rate is way up in like the 70 or 80 percentile, if I correct. Is that correct? I mean, you remember? It's way up there, 70, 80% in our military. Now, isn't that a shame? But I think it's way up in the 60 percentile or something in just regular in America. And you say, well, why? Because we're not a Christian nation. That's why. Why? Because the leaders of America have all fallen in the ditch in blindness, and they got blind leaders. Why? Because we take young men that have callings in their life that they need to seek God on their knees and pray and get filled with the Holy Ghost, but we send them to seminary school to pervert their minds and to teach them to be like their elders instead of being like what the Bible taught. You say, well, this is kind of offensive. That's good. Maybe you can start learning to follow the leading of the Lord. All right, let's turn to 1 Peter, the third chapter now. I'm going to try to keep things just in a maybe a teaching perspective this morning. I like to preach. I've preached so hard I had no voice when I come down from my sacred desk. I preached in other countries. When I left there, they was taking me to another place to preach, and I had no voice. I said, God, you sent me all these thousands of miles to preach. You're going to have to help me. And he'd give me a voice, and I'd preach. But I could yell, but I couldn't talk. So when I got behind the sacred desk over there in the Philippines, I didn't walk up, hey, good, hello, how are you? I had to start out, hey, how's it going? Praise God. Amen. I'm here to preach the word. Amen. I couldn't talk. Because when I did, it would just go, rah, 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 rah. Y'all feel sorry for my wife having to travel with me? 1 Peter, the third chapter says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, unless you're American. No, sorry. That was meddling, if anybody wasn't sure. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. I know some women are more in subjection to the neighbor's husband than they are their own. Sorry. That if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. That's powerful. What is that saying, sister? What is it saying? Do we have problems in Christian Temple Church with marriages? Sure we do. If I started unveiling the problems in here between these youth, these sisters and brethren and different kind of things, it'd probably scare you. If I started sharing my problems with you, you'd probably say, man, I'm out of here. But I'm a man just like you're a man. All men's hearts are fashioned like, yes, we deal with things, we fight with things, we war with things, but we have to learn to cast them down and put them under our feet. When you have thoughts come to you that ain't godly, doesn't make you a bad person. It's what you do with the thought and how long you meditate on it and how you eat on it and how you feed on it. Let me read just a couple other passages of scriptures go along. It says, unto the women, this is Genesis 3:16. They might want to put it up on the word, and we'll come back to 1 Peter here. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and they desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. It's because the woman was in the fall. The woman's the weaker vessel. Now my foundation that I started speaking about, I'm going to go to it in just a minute and tell you why I'm saying the things that I'm saying. You know, we as the man could say, oh, it's the woman, she's the weaker, that's the problem with everything. No. Brother, be careful. Just hang on for a while. We'll get there. 1 Corinthians 14:34. Let your woman keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, why'd they put that in the New Testament? Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord? Come on now. As unto the Lord? You know, a lot of married problems would cease right there, brothers and sisters, if the wife would learn to love their husbands like the Lord. Boy, the guys are liking this so far. Well, I ain't done yet, guys. Just, you know, get your seatbelts on. Hang on, brethren. It's going to get rough. Some of them been around here long enough saying, yeah, be careful. Don't get haughty and arrogant. I tell you something I don't like. I don't like a man thinking, I'm the head of the house, man. Shut your mouth, woman. Grab her by the hair and drag her in the kitchen. Feed me. Give me a bone, big bone, woman. That's the mentality of some Christian men. But when they have that mentality, that's exactly what God does to them. They're unhappy people. They're getting knocked around all the time. Nothing seems to work for them. And there's no blessings of God in their life. The way a man treats his wife is the way God treats the man. You say, you got Bible for that? And I sure do. Just hang on. I tell you things like this. The Bible said that if you want forgiveness, what does it say you have to do to get it? You have to forgive. Now, is that Bible? Bible said you draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. So you got to draw nigh unto him and then he'll draw nigh unto you. Okay, so now you're starting to understand how God works. And a man mistreat his wife, then God's going to mistreat that man. You see, we're the bride of Christ. Now, when we get this masculinity, I'll say, well, bless God, you know, I'm the man. Just remember that you're married unto him and you're the bride, the weaker vessel. And the way you're treating your wife is the way he's treating you. You want the blessings of God in your life, my friend, brother? Then bless your wife and love your wife. Be willing to lay your life down for her. Your wife's got problems, but you got problems. You want God to overlook your problems, but you don't want to overlook your wife's problems. So now God's not going to overlook your problems because you can't overlook your wife's problems. If we could come to this revelation, sister and brother, that your husband's got problems and you got problems and you're going to love each other in the problems, then these problems could melt away and cease because you love one another and you cherish one another and you take care of one another. But when you just keep sitting there looking at the faults and looking at the weaknesses and bickering all the time, if the woman's bickering, it says the dude's better to live on the rooftop. Come on now. I had a woman call me up at 1 o'clock in the morning. My husband's out drinking and smoking pot. Hey, I could have gone on board with her. That wretched dog. Somebody ought to whoop his hind end. Sister, when he comes home, man, get one of the kids' ball bats, man, and bash him over the head. Scumbag, leaving the wife at home out drinking and smoking dope. What a sorry human being. But I didn't say all that to her. I said, sister, what have you done to him to make him want to be out there? Here's a mama crying on the phone at 1 in the morning, got 4 children at home. Daddy's off out drinking and partying. I say, what'd you do to him to make him go out there? That was the corner of his rooftop. See, now she had something to deal with. When you have marital problems, that's the way you deal with them. You look in the mirror and say, what am I doing to cause this? You know why my wife's a jerk? Because I was a jerk to her. I just sowed it and I'm reaping it. The Bible said, God's not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. Why do you think you're going to sow it and don't have to reap it? Come on now. What makes us think we're going to just sow this kind of stuff and not reap it? It makes God's word a lie. So we got to realize that we have all authority and all control. If my husband ain't saved and I'm a woman, it says because I haven't won him with my chaste conversation. So I've got to take the responsibility. And if we would all take the responsibility, sisters and brothers, we could bring unity and things in our homes. And we can have a marriage, amen? Let's take authority. We're Christians. While they behold your chaste conversations coupled with fear. Verse 2. Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold and putting off on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek. Boy, brother, if my wife could get that meek and quiet spirit, all my problems would be over. which in the sight of God is great price. It talks about the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold. You know, a lot of women, they want to fix themselves up. They want to look sexy, okay, for their husbands. You know, they want to get the right kind of clothing. They want to do all this. But that's not going to be what holds them. That's not what's going to work. A man that gets his wife to look too provocative, he got a problem anyway. Wife shouldn't look like that. Woman ain't supposed to be provocative. She ain't supposed to look that way. My Bible said the woman's to be shamefaced. Do you know what that means? Well, let me tell you something, Christian friends. The Muslims got a little bit more understanding than what you give them for. They put this veil over their women's face. And you say, oh man, I don't believe we need to do that. I didn't say that, but I said they're closer than American women of being what would be Christianity. That would be more godly for a woman to put a veil over her face than to project her image with her face. Do you realize that the windows to the soul, the eyes, and just even a woman isn't even supposed to gaze at a man in the eyes? Things happen. Brother Pike said he had a man and woman committing adultery standing in his front yard while they're getting ready to close in prayer because they're gazing at one another and the spirits are saying, you say, well, I don't see that. Well, you don't read Jesus' writing. He said that when a man even look upon a woman and lust after he committeth adultery. Come on now. We got to get in this word in this Bible and quit playing religion. We need to quit playing this religious game. Well, I said the prayer. Well, the Bible said that his ears are closed to the cry of the sinner. So what are you going to do with that, Mr. Sinner? When you say, I said the sinner's prayer, ain't no such thing. He doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner. That's why I sent the ministry in. They got to have hands laid on them. And they got to have their sin remitted. Amen? And we do this through baptism. Why did Peter there on the first day when this Holy Ghost came, it said that it took him, baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And when those over in Acts 9 got filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost came on them, they heard him speaking in tongues, and he said, would any forbid these men water? We see that God gave these Gentiles the Holy Ghost, would any forbid them water? And it said they took them and baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Let's get in the Word. Let's get real. Let's quit playing games with the Word. Well, I don't believe you have to be baptized. Well, my Lord and my God Jesus came to this world and He went and got baptized to show us an example. And if you want to reject baptism, it just shows that you're simply in witchcraft and rebellion. No, the water don't save you. It's the blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that saves you. Amen. But every count you find, they found a water hole to take them to. Amen. I could take this thing right here and this is anointing oil. This oil doesn't heal nobody. It is the stripes of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But He said, if they're sick and afflicted among you, call them forward in the church and anoint them with oil. So we do this as obedience to the Word of God. And we see people healed here. We see people set free from death sentences and things here. Amen? Because we believe in the Word of God. Verse 4 says, but let the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, now we're going to come down to the husband. So let's skip this part, boys. That's what a lot of people do with the Bible, isn't it? They just read what they want. They read the parts that they like. It's funny how many people can quote half the scripture. It's like, you need that second half with it. Don't forget the second half over there. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now come on, I want you to pay attention to what's being said right here. Verse 7 now. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge. What is the knowledge? We're giving you knowledge here. Come on now. Giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. Brother, she's weaker. She has been made weaker. She needs you. She needs your help. She don't need you to point out her weakness. You need to know she's weak, and you need to love her and strengthen her and help her and protect her and guide her. Not with some bulldog mentality, with love, with Christ. You want God to love you? You want God to wink at your ignorances when you stumble? You want God to look at you and wink at you when you fail? But then yet you can't look at your companion with the same mercy? And this is why God can't show mercy to you. Now this is why America is fallen. Right here, what we're talking about. This goes beyond the marriage of a man and woman. This goes into the marriage with Christ. Being married unto Him, being the bride. He said, I'm coming back for the bride without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. So I've got to realize that somewhere in some particular dimension that I'm a woman, the weaker vessel. And I'm married unto Him. You understand that? Well, the Bible said that His seed remaineth in you. And it keepeth you from sin. You see, when a man puts his seed in his wife, she brings forth a child, amen? Now the seed that comes within us, being the bride of Christ, brings forth the sons of God that are heir to the throne of God. And we're caught up to the throne of God, with God. So you see the importance? There's an importance here. How come we could not see the things that appear and think we're in a better place in the Spirit? The Spirit is what's revealing. You see, if you see me do a kind act of charity, if I help somebody, if I pick somebody up, if I help a drug addict, a dope addict, or a drunkard, or a harlot, or a sodomite, and I help them, that's a kind act of charity. The glory goes to God, because it's the Spirit of Christ that lives in me that does these things. Because the spirit of man is selfish. The spirit of man is arrogant. The spirit of man's all about him. And we take the spirit of man into our marriage and say, shut up, woman, I'm the man. That's no way to be what a Christ-like man is or a Christ-like husband. Jesus set the example. He laid his life down for me. And we're supposed to do the same thing. You see, we got to make this spirit world, the Father's invisible, no man has seen him. We got to bring him visible in this earth today. That was the whole purpose of Jesus coming here. The Father being invisible, no man has ever seen. Jesus came here in the fullness of the Father, in the fullness of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. When they asked him, they asked Jesus, when will we see the Father? And he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. He said, the Father's with me and I'm within the Father. And I know the Trinitarian doctrine. I've been a Trinitarian myself for many, many years. I'm not a Trinitarian no more. I'm not a oneness. No, sorry. I found those are not biblical terminologies. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you must be a Trinitarian. I believe in the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. I believe that these three are one, because that's what my Bible says. And when you teach that God's three persons, that's a lie from Catholicism. The three-person God doctrine started in 321 AD in the Catholic Church. And guess what? You fellow Protestants have brought it with you when you rebelled against the Catholics. When you protested against them, that sound a little better? You brought that three-person God with you. How can you say that you got three persons and say just one God?
Well, same way, it's like what the Bible says there, you know, that when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. And I said, I understand that. There's still two persons.
There's still two persons. You say, well, I'm not sure what you're saying. The Bible said that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead body. What does the fullness mean? He's all of the Godhead bodily. He is the person. He was the personification of this invisible Spirit of God in flesh, walked among men, God in the flesh. And then when he sent the Spirit back, it was considered the Holy Ghost because it had been personified. Now it's recognized, hey, this is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Where's it at now? It's living in me. Jesus said, I'm in you and you in me. I'm in the Father and the Father's within me and I'm in you and you in me. Now you can't separate that. That's why nothing can be laid to my charge. I'm one with Christ. I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You need to realize who you are. You know, I'm the body of God, are you? You pinch God and you say, ouch. Come on now. Say, I don't think it's that way. Well, you tell me how it is. I'm part of the body of Christ. What you do unto me is what you've done to the least of the brethren. I'm the least of all. But what you do unto me is what you've done unto him. Do you realize that you curse me and you go to hell? Bible says blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. If it's the Holy Ghost living in me and it's no longer man speaking but Christ speaking through him and you curse that, you just cursed against the Holy Ghost. I had a woman call me a devil. And they buried her a year later. I said, you can't do that. Because you're calling God the devil. He said, no, you said she called you a devil. But I was speaking by the Lord. And she said I was a devil. And she said everybody in this church was of the devil. And she died. I said, you can't do that. I loved her. I said, please, ma'am. You may be right. Maybe Brother Rob is going to hell, but you can't have this bitterness in your heart. I pleaded with her. While she's cursing me, I pleaded with her. Just as Jesus did when they drove the nails in. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm saying, sister, you don't know what you're doing. Please, don't do that. You can't do that. It'll kill you. And it did. I'm not happy about that. I didn't curse her. She cursed herself. I got people sitting here looking at me right now that are too light in their spirit. That's what they did with Jesus. See, Jesus didn't work very many miracles when he was in his hometown of Nazareth. Why? Well, he's just a carpenter's son. You look at me and say, you're just a man just like me. And I say, hey, you don't want me to talk to you as a man? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? That's what the Apostle Paul said. I know I'm a man just like you. That's why I teach you and preach to you like a man. Because I know your weaknesses and your failures. And I know your thoughts and your stumblings and things. I deal with the same things. But let's get out of that mind of man and crucify that man and cast his thoughts down and put them under our feet and start proclaiming the word of God that says, I'm a born again child of God. I've been set free from sin. I've got all authority over that nature of a man. And I can walk in the attributes of Jesus Christ. I can come forth with love and long suffering and patience and gentleness and kindness. Amen. Because I got His Spirit. His Spirit lives in me and dwells in me. That should be your testimony. The Bible said that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And the words of our testimony. We need to have a testimony. We need to have a profession of faith. We need to be talking about who we are in Christ. Amen. And He's given us everything that pertaineth unto life. And made us more than conquerors. Amen. Death and hell is finished, brethren. It can't touch us. Let's give Him a hand. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. You see, when you read this 1 Peter, is why I laid a foundation here. You that are listening and that are here this morning that aren't married. You can say, man, this is a message for married people. I hope you're married unto Christ. I hope you're married unto Jesus. Do you realize this? Now listen, I can take you to the scriptures. I'm going to say something, but the Bible said a wise man hears the end of the matter. So if you're tuned in right now and you're going to turn this computer off when I say this, you need to hear the end of the matter. And if you don't, I'm not accountable for what you're going to hear until you hear me finish it. The Bible says, New Testament doctrine, that the woman is saved in childbearing. Has anybody ever read that? So I tell you this, woman, if you're listening on the thing, but hear the end of the matter. If you ain't brought forth a child, you're going to hell. So if you're a barren woman, you're going to hell. You heard it right here. And you say, oh man, I can't get out this place fast enough, man. Whew. I'm going to get out of this church and run. This preacher's ignorant. That's what I'd do if I heard somebody say that. Then what'd you say it for? Because I want to tell you the end of the matter. Now the Bible does say that. The woman's saved in childbearing. Now I'm going to take you to Old Testament doctrine. When a woman couldn't bring forth a child, the Bible said they had no inheritance. Now, the Old Testament is a shadow. Now, if you go back and read in your Old Testament, when a woman couldn't bring forth a child, man, they went to the priests of God. They went to the prophets of God and they pleaded, please, pray for me. Let this womb not be barren. Open up this womb. And they prayed and they pleaded. Man, they would even go get their husbands a concubine. And they'd say, here, you have a child. I need an inheritance. You take it and go sleep with my husband. You see the importance of a child? But now we're going to step into another dimension. I'm the bride. I'm the woman. God saved me for childbearing. Come on now. Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. The Bible said that, you know, the woman, again, being saved in childbearing, and then there's a travail in childbirth. Well, when you're born again and there's no travail, there's no C-sections in this world. You understand that? There's going to be a travail. When you come to Jesus Christ, it ain't going to be what some of these preachers are telling you. It's all just a bed of roses. Oh, just come over here and say the little prayer. And you, boy, you're number 59 in our church. And oh, praise God, we're Christians. Somebody slap the preacher. The preacher needs to be teaching, say, hey, brother, you just joined the army of God. We're good soldiers for Jesus Christ. We keep ourselves unspotted from the affairs of this world. Come out of the world. Be a separate people. Some of you been in the army before. You didn't go into the army and they take you out there and say, this is how you hold a gun. Do some push-ups, boy, and at 9 o'clock at night say, see you, Sarge, I'm going to town to party a little bit. It wasn't that way. You gave your sovereignty. He said, boy, get to bed at 8 o'clock. Ain't nobody told me to go to bed at 8 o'clock since I was 7 there. Sarge, I'd like to see him slam you in the bunk. My Bible said to enter into the kingdom, you got to become as a little child. You better learn to subject yourself to submission and authority, or you'll never make it in. Now, the thing is, I'm still talking about the woman saved in childbearing. Now, I brought it into the next dimension, me being the woman. God repented that he made man. He could have ran man off the face of the earth. When Eve was in the transgression there in Genesis, he could have got upset and said, woman, you ignorant thing, I'm wiping you off the face of the earth. But he couldn't fulfill his plan because man could not reproduce his image and multiply this earth without the woman. So he saved Eve in childbearing. There's your first dimension. Now we step into the second one. You can go read it. I believe it's in Timothy about the woman saved in childbearing. So now I'm the bride of Christ. He repented that he made man, but now he spared man by dying for him, shedding his blood, that he could have this mankind, but now the bride of Christ and his seed could go forth within him and keep him from sin. Amen. Now, are you thankful for being washed in the blood? Why were you washed in the blood? For you could be pure without spot, wrinkle, or blemish as a chaste virgin. Why? For you could go in before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he could put the seed within you. Now, you're saying, was this a sexual act? Was it with Mary? No. The seed went in by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. So now, in this bride dimension, there's an act that takes place to put the seed within we, being the bride, being saved in childbearing. Now, if you don't bring forth a child, listen, sisters, my brethren, the bride of Christ, you have no inheritance. What is the inheritance? The heirs to the throne. Who's the heir to the throne? The sons of God. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. The Bible teaches very clearly. I saw this woman in heaven being in travail to bring forth a child. And it was a red dragon there to pursue this child. Place prepared in the wilderness for the woman. I could take your own revelation and read it to you. But it said, as soon as the child was born, was caught up to the throne. Well, where are you at, Brother Rob? I'm in heaven. Amen. Now, see, you can contest that. But the only reason you can contest is because you have a lack of understanding. You don't know the word. Jesus said this when he was here. He said, where I am, you will be there with me also. Okay? So where am I at? I'm in heaven with Jesus. I'm hidden him. Nothing can touch me. Nothing can be laid to my charge. I'm speaking by the Spirit now. My spirit man is hid away in Christ. Nothing can be laid to my charge. I'm talking about the Word. Death is the last enemy of God to be conquered. Death can't touch me. This is why I say I cannot die. And you say, well, they might put you in a box out here in the dirt one day. And I said, so be it. That's the way of the flesh. That's what the flesh is, to go back to the dirt and the dust. I'm not talking about my flesh. I'm talking about my spirit is hid away in Christ. Yeah, you see a man here. But the Bible says, beloved now. It didn't say we're going to be. It said, beloved now ye are the sons of God. Amen. I'm a son of God. Amen. I believe the word of God. I believe what Jesus done for me. Can you believe that, saints? Amen. So verse 7 again. Husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge given, honor unto thy wife as the weaker vessel. And being heirs together, heirs together. So brother, you might have a problem if you don't get her in here with you, huh? Because you're heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So sometimes you're thinking, well, I prayed, I asked God, but your prayers are hindered. Why? Because you don't know how to love your wife. And your prayers are hindered. How many want hindered prayers? I like to pray and know that I'm getting through to God. I like to pray and know that he's hearing my prayers. Amen. Why don't we read the scriptures and the word and believe what he's saying here? We always got excuses for it. Well, my wife's no good. Well, you made her that way. Because you didn't love her. You want to talk about what's no good? I'm no good. You're no good. But Jesus loved you enough to die for you and shed his blood for you. And he loved you and caressed you and led you into his kingdom. And you got to do the same thing. When do you have the ability to put something no good away? Come on now. You say line upon line. Yeah. We better get line upon line. Y'all love the Lord? I won't keep you too many more hours. A woman called me one night. She said, I want to come over and be in church with you Wednesday. But my kids got school on Thursday. I wonder if she ever called the basketball coach when she went to the kids to the basketball game. Yeah, I ain't going into overtime tonight, are you? I could hear the bell go off for the end of whatever, quarter, whatever it's called. And they go into overtime. Nah, I ain't staying. I'm going to the house. I ain't staying for this overtime. Come on, what would they do? They'd sit there. Never think about nothing. 10:30, man, and some monkey's running with the ball, man. And they're still got enough strength to shout. But the preacher's got to shut up in 15 minutes. Sorry, I'm just kind of real. Yeah. Brother Allen, to understand that. Yeah, I can see why you got a small church, brother. I'm not looking for a big flock. Bible said little flock. Few be there that find it. I'd rather have 10 people walking in the spirit with me as 10,000 that are in the flesh, and I stand with their blood on my hands. When people leave this church, it's usually because I'm preaching against sin that they want to hide or keep in their lives. They want to drink, they want to dope, they want to whore around, they want to curse, they want to do the things that the worldly people do. They want to be out in the golf courses with the other pastors. I ain't got time to be out there with them. No pastor got no business being out there when people are going to hell. Let me tell you the way I think. I don't think the President Obama should have been out there on a golf course when we got people dying in the streets over here in Ferguson because of some racial situation. And we don't need to send people to call themselves preachers like that Sharpton and go over there and just stir up racial violence. The thing we need to do is get rid of some of them reprobates. If that man's a preacher and if he is called of God, then I would quit. Right now, I say, God, you ain't never called no reprobate pervert like that. That man is nothing but all about him. He ain't for the black people. If he loved the black people, he'd be helping black people. But all he's doing is stirring up racial violence and stuff. He's nothing but a reprobate. I'm talking about Al Sharpton. And I'm talking about the NAACP. Boy, you're a white supreme racist, ain't you, brother? No, I'm not. I'm just telling you that's wrong. I'm not no white supremacist. You come go with me to Africa and see how I love the black people. Go over here to Humboldt, Tennessee with me when I go preach in an all-black church. And I love those people. I embrace those people. They're my brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about a reprobate troublemaker named Al Sharpton. You understand what I'm saying? You know why he's there? Because God put him there. Come on, God gives them leaders after their own heart. That's why Obama's the president of the United States today, because my Lord and my God, my Savior put him there. Because America's standing the judgment. God's angry with America. God's the one that blew the big wind over there to wipe out the cesspool over there that you call, what's that perverted place they had all the queers marching? New Orleans, thank you. Cesspool. God's the one that was driving the airplanes into the towers. And you say, but there were 3,600 people died there, Brother Rob. And I say, but who are you to find fault if he took every one of them into his kingdom with him? He was trying to wake up a nation. God is the one that allowed that to happen. Evil can't come to America unless I send it, saith the Lord. And God allowed it to wake up a nation, just like he allowed his son to go to a cross and be beaten beyond recognition for a people. And if he takes 3,600 souls out of this world for the rest of the millions of people in this country, you better learn to serve God. He's the one that opened up the ground and swallowed up his own elect. Amen. So better get out of your little religious ideology. Come on now. God's angry with your nation and with your country. Let me read on here. Finally, be ye all of one mind. How many minds you got, brother? I got a mind to be in a restaurant right now. We get in the mind of Christ. Let's finish the word. So you're in another mind. The Bible said we're supposed to have the same mind, the same judgment. We're not supposed to pierce each other through. So we better learn to get in one mind. This is what brings tranquility in marriages when we get in one mind. It's not all about you. If you'd make it all about her, then your life would be better. If she'd make it all about him, her life would be better. Finally, be ye all in one mind, having compassion one for one of another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil. That's a big one right there. Your wife says, shut up. Here's the common answer. You shut up. That really helped the matter. Well, I'm not some sissy, Brother Rob. My wife tells me to shut up. I'm not going to look at her and smile. Are you saying Jesus was a sissy? When they were driving nails in his hands and he said, Father, forgive them. Come on now. We could try that. Well, my wife had no business telling me to shut up. Well, let me tell you something. The thing is if you do what she says, you're going to find out that she's going to be the one shutting up. And vice versa. Soft answer turns away wrath. It doesn't do anything turning evil for evil. But see, we as a man and we as a woman, what we're going to do is, well, they started it. They shouldn't have done that. And I'm justified. If anybody was justified to smack somebody, to hit somebody, to rip somebody's head off, Jesus was. But he was silent to the slaughter. You say, well, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about marriage. My wife needs to learn to submit to me and she needs to learn to shut up. I said, well, show her first how to do it. And she probably will. Can you do that? I remember Brother Pike, and you all know how I esteem him. Great man of God. Greatest man of God I ever met. Now, I know you probably met some way better, but it's just the greatest one I ever met. Fine, brother. Him and his wife was having a little bit of a cross-up, and boy, and he raised up his voice at her, and he said he was looking at her, and her face turned into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, shut up. Guess what he done? He shut up. Yes, dear. I don't like this doctrine. You're trying to turn me into some hen-pecked sissy, Brother Rob. Nah. We'll talk about that at men's meeting when your wife ain't here. No. Or when my wife ain't here. That's good, ain't it? Well, I knew you was hen-pecked, Brother Rob. Somebody sent word over here one time. He said, man, I'd never go to Christian temple. That Sister Irene's running the church. I said, she is. Man, if that's the case, I could back off now and let her keep on running it. You know? She does help, Brother Rob, I'll tell you that, and I'm thankful for that. I heard an old saying one time, it's easier to preach 10 sermons as it is to live one. Y'all just can't hear my wife. I'm up here thinking I'm teaching you in marriage, and she's over there, amen, brother, why don't you line up with it? No. You believe what you're preaching there, boy? You just can't hear. You say, man, back off on us a little bit, Brother Rob. I'm saying, yeah, please, Lord, back off on us a little bit. No, it's okay to smile a little bit, ain't it? I love y'all and appreciate you. I'm over here at verse 9. Huh? Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. So here's what he's telling you. Instead of rendering, you know, she's mean to you, you be mean back. He's mean to you, you beat me back. He said, no, contrarywise, bless him. It works. Amen. Man came up to me and mad. He's yelling at me. I just got done preaching the gospel. I come out of a church, he's mad and in my face, telling me all this stuff. I didn't argue with him. I said, I'm sorry you feel that way. I love you. Oh, you're smooth, aren't you, preacher? No, you pray for me. That's all I said. And it made him mad because I wouldn't get mad. Oh, yeah, there was a Brother Rob laying back there. I said, boy, I'm about to put you in the next week. Huh? Come on. You want to talk like a man? Okay, I'll talk like a man. I was about ready to jack him up. Huh? Come on. But my Bible said, cast them thoughts down. So I had a guy living over here in this camp saying, nail him, Brother Rob. And I'm saying, shut up, Satan. Nail him, Brother Rob. Shut up, Satan. Hey, sir, I love you. You said that was fake. That was Christ. And I drew strength from Christ. And then I felt sorry for him. Sometimes you get mad at people, but sometimes you ought to pity them. In such a way, you poor thing. And I feel for a man like that. Because that man's in trouble with God. All I did was preach the gospel. Amen? Not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Know that ye are thereunto called. That you should inherit a blessing. How do I inherit a blessing? By blessing somebody when they're being evil to me. And I inherit a blessing. You know what? Brother Randy over here loves me. Brother Alan loves me. You understand that? Oh, it's easy for me to say, Brother Randy, I love you. Hey, Alan, I love you. That's easy. But what about when somebody's taking advantage of you, somebody's lying to you, somebody's cheating you, and taking advantage, say, I love you. That's what Jesus, now we're talking about godly love. It's easy to love people that love you, brethren, but let's show godly love and love people that hate us and do evil to us. Now we can start walking in Christ, okay? And practice it with your own companion. Well, my wife hates me. My husband hates me. And I thought, well, you want to get in the flesh and talk about it? I'd hate you too. Okay. Rewind that. Okay, back here at verse 9. All right. Oh, help us, Jesus. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. That's tough. You know, the Bible, if we go over to the 13th chapter of Corinthians, it says, love thinketh no evil. I got problems, saints. It's like I said, that man's rebuking me. All I did was preach the gospel and he's in my face. You think I wasn't thinking evil? I'm thinking, my God, I'm going to knock a fire out of you. I was thinking evil. Man, I need charity. I need the love of God. I was thinking, but I didn't exercise it. You see, this is where the Bible said, cast those thoughts down. We have to learn to cast them down. I had a man in my face up here in the store one time up here in north side of High Point. Man, he calling me a devil. He said, you ain't got the spirit of God. You ain't of God, this and that. And he's calling all these things. And I regret saying this, but I looked him right now and I said, sir, I can tell you one thing for a fact. It's a good thing I do have the Holy Ghost, because me and you would have done been out in the yard. And that was a true statement. I mean that. I would have never. In my heathen days, there wasn't no man going to call me out in front of a store and start calling me a bunch of names and insult me. Me and him would have done been in the street. He might have whooped my hind end, but I'll tell you what, I was going to be enjoying it, because he wasn't going to be talking no more while he was doing it. You say, man, you're supposed to be teaching us how to conquer that flesh. That's what I'm testifying to the fact. I'm talking about the old man that I had buried and crucified with Christ, and he no longer lives. Because that dude, if he was resurrected, I would have been scrapping, but I just suffered the wrong. Amen. Can you do that, saints of God? Do you know how to suffer the wrong? Do you know how to swear to your own hurt? Do you know how to go the extra mile when you're asked? Come on now. We're talking about being Christians. We have to know how to turn the other cheek. Amen. We could see the woman could convert her husband that's mean and evil with her chaste conversation by loving him anyway. When a woman loves a man that's being mean to her, she's going to do one thing for a fact. God's going to get in the thing. When a woman tries to straighten out the man that's being evil to her, and she's going to take the authority in her hands and she's going to straighten him out, guess what she just done? She got God on his side. And God's going to make him harder. God's going to make him meaner. And you say, you can't tell me that. I could take you in the Bible and prove that very thing to you. I could prove it to you. God is not going to have the woman supping authority over the man. And when the woman's trying to do that, God's going to harden the man's heart, for he won't submit to it, because it's wrong for the man to do that. Yes, the man submits himself to his wife. He loves her. He'll submit himself all the way to death, but he's not going to submit to a woman a supping authority. When the woman said, this is what you're going to do, boy. I was in my garage working one time, and I was working on a little brother's truck. And I'm out there working on the truck, got the hood up, and we're both bent over the hood looking down there, and I'm working. And his wife comes to the door and opens up my door, and I thought this was maybe a skit. And she said, I don't want to call his name. She said, little sissy boy. No, she didn't say that, but she kind of did. She said, front and center right now. And I'm like, lost a vertebrae in my neck, like... I'm telling you the truth. I'm like, what? What is this? But I watched this guy, boy, and he went to marching. Here I come, honey. And I'm like, dude. Well, you said that we're supposed to submit one to another. That ain't submission. I was wrong. I couldn't believe that she talked like that. Front and center right now, and he went to marching. If that's what it takes to have a marriage, man, I'm going to do like Paul said. I'll just stay single. I'm going to stay on the things of God. Yeah. It ain't going to happen. See, a woman don't have no place to do that kind of stuff. You see, we got to learn what biblically means to submit one to another. When a woman gives the man the authority of the household and loves him and helps him and be's a chaste wife, and with her chaste conversation, that man is going to take care of her and love her. When a man is evil to her and hard on her, and many times it's because this is what she has been sowing. People don't like to hear this stuff, but it's Bible. The Bible said, God's not mocked, what you sow is what you reap. You see, we're creators, brethren. I could create, if I'm a bride, I could create me a good husband by speaking and loving him and taking care of him and speaking kind things to him. I could teach him to be kind to me because I'm always speaking kind things to him. But if I'm always on his heels and pointing out every little failure and every little weakness and every little problem he's got and always nagging at him, we got any naggers in here? I ain't raising my hand. Some of y'all shoot up both arms. Yep, I'm a nagger. But see, that doesn't work. We got love. Well, they ain't worthy to be loved. Well, you made them unworthy then. But you make them worthy to love, then they'll line up with that. You can win them by your chaste conversation, by loving them. Jesus loved me when I wasn't worthy to be loved, brethren. He gave his life for me when I was a wretched, filthy scumbag. And he laid his life down for me and shed his blood. And this is what I'm supposed to do according to the scriptures that I read for my wife. So if my wife is wretched, no good, I'm supposed to still be willing to lay my life down and love her. And when I do that, see, by Jesus loving me, you know what happened to me? I started conforming to his word. Because I seen the charity and the love that he would show grace and mercy to me when I would fall. As being a righteous man and I'd fall and he'd help me get back up. But don't take this to lasciviousness, the Bible says. We don't take the grace of God to lasciviousness. So I'm not opening up a thing for you to continue on in sin. The Bible says, God forbid. See, that's what we do as Christians. A lot of times, oh, God's grace is so good. Give me another joint. Give me another beer. Give me another snort. Oh, I love Jesus. No, you're on your way to hell. There ain't no grace for that kind of ignorance. I wish we had time to get into some doctrine, because let me tell you something. When you go out and drink and dope and party and whore around and you think it's under the blood of Jesus, that's a lie from hell. And I got Bible for that. Go read Hebrews 6 and 10. There remaineth no sacrifice for willful sin. The blood of Jesus does not atone for that. If you are a Christian, you're going to look one forward to one thing, and that's the chastening of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's going to burn that stuff out of you with fire. What does that mean, Brother Rob? Hang on. I'll tell you what, I know what it means. Amen. God will slap a knot upside your head. I was testifying the fact I was a fleshly man, worldly man. Used to fight. I got saved. Man got up in my face. I said, well, let's do something. And boy, I tell you what, man, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost after me and this guy rolled around in the parking lot, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, I felt like the biggest worthless heel in the world. So I go back up on a rig floor, spinning chain gets away, and it spun around and it slammed me inside the head. It knocked me out cold. They had to rush me off the emergency room. God saying, you want to fight, boy? You hard-headed sucker. I don't think your head's as hard as this spinning chain. You say, I don't think God would do that. My Bible said he chastens them that he loves. Amen. And that was the preparation of God to do that because of my hard-headedness. And I need to learn to shut my mouth. Huh? God knows how to shut your mouth. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. Well, it wasn't the right thing for me to be out rolling in a parking lot with a guy when I was telling him about Jesus the day before. Oh, that was a tough cross, brethren. I got a couple more things I want to go with. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Try that, sister, brother. It works. Amen. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. Let's look at a couple of these words real quick here. This word, eschew evil. To turn aside from it, deviate from it, shun it. To decline from it. Some of us are looking for evil. Some of us like it when there's gossip going. God said he hates sowing discord among the brethren. More than anything, he hates that. But some people thrive when they get around gossip and stuff. Women get together, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Men get together, we're going to have a prayer meeting. It ain't no prayer meeting, it's a gossip section. Well, you know what, Elder such and such, he's got a problem. You know, they do it in the name of prayer. That's wrong. That ain't how you do a prayer meeting. It's wrong. People, they don't know how to chew this evil, to just stay away from it. It's just discord and strife. I believe in prayer, and I believe in people praying one for another, but keep the spirit of it right. When we say ensue it, to pursue it, to stay with it. Stay with peace, push it, press for it. We're too easy to get guile in our mouth, to find with an evil conversation and communication. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. To the righteous. But if you go read about the sinners, ears are closed and they don't hear their prayer. That's why they need a preacher to be sent forth. It's just Bible. You can contest it all you want. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord's against them that do evil. I want the Lord's face with me, not against me, brethren. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Are you following that which is good, brethren? Or are you following which is evil? Makes a difference. Simple things here. But and if you suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye. But be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. But if you're suffering for righteous sake, I have people come to me that are suffering and they think it's for righteous sake. And it isn't for righteous sake. It's because they're ignorant and their foolishness is the chastening of God. And that's why they're suffering. And then they think I'm stupid enough to believe them, saying, well, I'm just suffering because I'm a Christian. No, you're suffering because you're ignorant and you're in rebellion against God and you're rebellion against God's word. And you're suffering in your flesh because you're in enmity with God. You're not suffering because you're a Christian. You're just lying to yourself and you believe that. But I deal with that continually. You suffer. The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. But if you're not going to be obedient, then you're going to be in sacrifice and you're going to be suffering in your flesh because of your disobedience. So, you know, we always take the word out of context. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, you may be ashamed that falsely accuse you good conversation in Christ. For it is better if he will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Amen. I don't mind suffering for well-doing. And believe me, you will. Christ said they hated me first, they're going to hate you also. I know some of you are tired and ready to go. You're not used to giving time to really get in the Word. But you send your children off to school and you put them in school from 8 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you come over and you want to give the preacher 30 minutes. It shows that you ain't got no love of God and no strength for the things of God. You need to allow a man of God to get in the Word and teach your children, for they won't go to hell, and teach you, for you can keep yourself out of the world. Because we all just got the love of God, we all love Jesus, we all said the sinner's prayer, and we all just go on our way, and we live like dogs and devils according to the Bible. We're supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. We're not supposed to have friendship with the world. If you go in the book of James, it says being a friend of this world, that you're an adulterer in God. And all adulterers are going to have their part in the lake of fire. We need to learn the word. We need to have a hunger for the things of God. And we need to be drawing from the wellsprings of life. And saying, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with your spirit, Lord God. That I can walk in power. That I can walk in authority. And keep myself unspotted from the world. Amen. We need the power of God. And when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we got all authority over dope. We got all authority over alcohol. We got all authority over pornography. We got all authority over everything, brethren, because we got the power of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you're just religious. And you're going to burn in hell with a worse judgment. Do you realize that? Worse judgment. Our hell's just all hell. No, it isn't. The Bible said a greater damnation. You take the 11th hour worker story and think we're all going to have the same reward in heaven? Ain't that way. I got Bible for that too. You think we're all going to be equal in heaven? Who taught you that? The Bible talks about storing up treasures in heaven. So you're going to take some guy that don't do nothing for the kingdom of God? You take some guy that don't even believe in tithing and sharing and helping at the house of God? And you think he's going to have the same reward? then why is there only 24 elders around the throne? If we all got the same reward, why aren't there 24,000 elders around the throne? He said, you make yourself faithful over these little things, I'll make you ruler over greater things through all of eternity. There's going to be powers in the kingdom of God. There's going to be people still under subjection. Do you realize that in the millennium, when God sets up an earthly rule for the Jews, not for the church? The millennium isn't for the church! I hope some preacher ain't teaching you that foolishness. It's for the Jew that defied God. And he's going to set up rule here on the earth. Jesus, he's going to rule from Jerusalem. And if they don't come and worship him in Jerusalem, he'll shut the rain off of their 40 acres. Wouldn't that be something to see this guy with his 40 acres and just getting rained and all grain, and this other rebellious scumbag is all dead and dying? You say, you shouldn't call him that. Well, wait until we get down to the end for the battle of Gog and Magog. The scumbag's going to get cast in the lake of fire. They're going to gather them together just like they're going to do these Christians today. Oh, I'm a Christian. You are? Man, when I read the definition of a Christian, I don't find it in some people that say they're Christian. Just going to church don't make you a Christian. You got to be born again. Well, I said the sinner's prayer goes more than that. The sinner's prayer isn't magic. It's just like the marriage relationship with a man and woman. Man and woman sleep together, I'm sorry. They don't always have a child, do they? You go to church, go through the motions, you dance and shout, hallelujah, Lord. It don't mean the seed ever made it through the womb, that heart. Just like that woman's ovary, he's got to be in the timing, and it's got to be in the right cycle, and then that seed enter in, and there's life. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws. And let me tell you something. When you ain't drawn nigh unto him, and you ain't loving him, he ain't drawing you. And you'll go to hell is what you'll do. You'll be sitting in church and go to hell. You'll be going to church, but he wants more than church service. He wants somebody to fall in love with him. He wants somebody to talk to him, to fellowship with him. Well, my wife don't talk to me. That's because you don't talk to God. You start talking to the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you. I praise you, Lord God. Father, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for giving me strength. Thank you for giving me power. And you'll find your wife communicating with you. Honey, I love you. I love you, honey. Man, it's such a blessing to be married unto you. Can we spend the day together? You know why? Because she sees that you're in love with a heavenly Father. She sees that you're married unto him. Amen? And she's going to desire you. Try it. Prove the preacher wrong. Try it, brother, sister. Try it. But I counsel. I'm a counselor. I talk to every man in here, and I talk to men. It's always the woman's fault. I talk to the women, it's always the man's fault. And that's not biblical. I'm a leader. I'm a teacher. I'm a child of God. I'm a creator. Choose you this day and who you're going to serve. I choose. I made a decision. I'm going to serve God today. You know, I could make a decision to serve the devil today or serve the flesh. Huh? I know I'm fat. I can serve the flesh quite a bit, don't I? Pray for me. Let old brother Rob get that old obese devil under control. Shut up, devil. You ain't eating today. Huh? You ever done that? I've done it. I'm still fat. Help me, Jesus. Amen. Stand together with me. I had some more things I wanted to go to. But Brother Chuck, would you put Proverbs 18:21 up on the board there, please, brother? Proverbs 18:21. Let me read this scripture to you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If there's power in the tongue, what is the fruit that you're eating? Is it the fruit of life or the fruit of death? See, we're creators, brethren. We could speak through authority and power of the Holy Ghost and we could create. I could take a man that's no good and I say, brother, I believe you're a son of God. I believe that you've got the full potentiality to serve the Lord with all authority and all power and walk in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe you could do all things through Christ. Amen. I got the power to speak life to a man that is lost on his way to hell. And I can start speaking a profession of life to him, saying, you could do it, my brother. You could do it. But I'm going to be looking for fruit. Paul said he was looking for fruit of repentance. Let me say a couple things here. The churches will make a man a deacon. You know why? Because he's a good businessman. Got a good name in town. He doesn't cheat, doesn't lie, doesn't rob people. They make him a deacon. But my Bible said that a deacon is supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost. There's your qualification. He goes on, gives more qualifications. But that's the main qualification in the Bible, the man be filled with the Holy Ghost. But see, you could be a good businessman. You don't use tobacco, you don't use alcohol, you don't drink, you don't cuss, you don't rob, you don't cheat, you don't steal. That doesn't get you into the kingdom. That is not. That's fruit of salvation, but it isn't salvation. I know heathen people that don't testify God that live better, more honest, and more righteous lives than some people that profess Christianity. Brother, the only way that we're going to make it into the kingdom is by receiving the Holy Ghost. There's no other way. You must be saved. You must be born again. How am I born again? By receiving God's Spirit. What is God's Spirit? It's the Holy Ghost. I know our Pentecostals teach it a little bit differently, and I number myself with the Pentecostals in some ways, in some measure. I measure myself with the sons of God, but I do believe in Pentecost. I do believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I do believe in the gifts of God. I don't just believe in tongues. I believe in tongues, interpretation, tongues, and prophecy. I believe in healing. I believe in discerning of spirits. You understand that? I believe in faith. I believe in miracles. These are the gifts of God. I believe in these things. And they're for you as the church, as the saints of God. So that's why I would say Pentecostal. Because the Pentecostal churches teach that. Some of the other churches don't teach these gifts for today. But they're for today. Or the Word of God's a lie. And it's not real. Well, the Bible said that when all things become perfect. Well, I've become perfect. Be ye perfect even as your master in heaven is. That's what the Bible said. He said he's perfected once and all by his works at Calvary. Are you saying you're perfect, preacher? I'm saying he perfected me. I believe what he said. Well, I don't see the perfection. And I say, well, you're not in heaven. See, my inner man's in heaven, brethren. It's dwelling in heavenly places. This outer man of flesh, you might not see the full perfection of it, but I'm pressing for it. I'm pressing my way into the kingdom. I'm pushing and fighting against the devil, kicking against the gates of hell. I'm kicking against my fleshly mind. I'm kicking against my anger. I'm kicking against those things on a daily basis. I'm casting those thoughts down daily. I'm mortifying this man daily. Are you doing that? Or do you like him? Do you wake him up in the morning and pat him on the back, tell him how good he is? He's the enemy of God! You need to put that man under your feet. He's the son of perdition. You're looking for the Antichrist to come. The Bible said there's many Antichrists among us. And when you allow your thoughts to waver and to be fleshly and jealous and envy and strife and drunkenness and dope and all these kind of things, you've just given place to the devil. There's your Antichrist manifesting right there in your life. Let's get rid of him. Let's sing, bro. Amen. I'll keep preaching.
To the altars are open. Like Jesus.
Hallelujah. Is that your desire?
Like,
do you want to be like Jesus, saints of God? The altars are open this morning. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can just come in the altars and say, Lord, I want more of you, Lord God. I want you to fill me with your Spirit, your power. Fill me with your love, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, remove anger. Remove jealousy. Remove envy. Remove strife. Remove bitterness. Remove drunkenness. Remove tobacco. Oh, God, I need you, Lord God. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Touch me. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God. Amen. Can you feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Can you feel the power of His salvation this morning? Hallelujah. Worship Him, saints. If you have any needs this morning, God's here. He'll meet your needs today. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
From earth to glory. I only ask, oh, to be like Him.
Hallelujah.
To be like Jesus.
Do you have needs today? God is here. He can meet your need. There's no need too big or too little. Amen. For God, He can meet your need. He can give you and empower you. Help me kill out Rob Coombs. Help me mortify my mind. Help me kill out my flesh, Lord God. Help me to be like you, Jesus. I want to walk in the power and authority and the demonstration of love.
Oh,
Jesus, help me. I love you, Lord God. I praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord God. You're my Lord, my King. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Love him, saints. Love him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
I only have.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to be like you.
Oh, mata la masatrio kotoro
masi.
Yara la masandrio kishiniri maki. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Oh, fill us, Lord. Anoint us, Lord. Empower us, Lord God. Give us all authority over the devil, Lord God. Let us put him under our feet, Almighty God.
From earth to glory, I only ask.
Hallelujah.
Oh, to be like you.
Let me be like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Y'all love the Lord today? Amen. Is it good? Is it good to dwell in the house of the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. I want y'all to believe and pray with me. I'm going to anoint you guys with oil. The Bible said if they're sick or afflicted among you, they come forward in the church, let the elders anoint them, lay hands on them. Amen. I want you saints of God to, as I pray and lay hands on this couple, the enemy has attacked them. That doesn't make them bad people. Has anybody in here had their marriage attacked by the devil before? I surely have. Amen. You know, the devil wants to kill my marriage. You know why? For he could hurt other people. He could cause people to stumble. My marriage comes under great attacks of Satan. Amen. But I thank God for the Holy Ghost, and we've endured and stood together and stood strong. I've got a wonderful wife and I love her. You know why I know she's wonderful? Because she's put up with me for 39 years. That makes her a wonderful woman. It just proves to you that it could be done, brethren or sisters. That's what I should say. It could be done. She put up with my sorry hide that long. You can do it, sister. Man, it gives you faith and hope. Amen. You say, ah, but you're a good guy, brother. Our Bible said there ain't none good, not even one. Amen. Hallelujah. But brethren, I'm going to pray with these folks. I want you to, you know, put your hands out towards them. And we're going to pray that God strengthens this marriage. That others that they're in contact with and around, that they could see strength and see anointing and see power and see authority. Amen. And I'm going to take authority over the beast, okay? That he can't harm them. Amen. And he can't rob them. See, Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy you. Trying to destroy your marriage. But we got authority over that. Amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you guys to join those hands together, yeah. Let me have the other one. There you go. You guys stay like that. I'm going to anoint you with oil. Amen. Mara la masandri oko sotoro masindri hikishiti liahata la makesendri kisi. Oh, thank you, Lord God. I thank and praise your holy name. Most gracious fathers, I pray for this couple right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, I first off want to remind you that these are God's children. And that you cannot lay anything to their charge. And I say that you're a liar and you're the father of all lies. Satan, you cannot steal, nor rob, nor take what God has put together. And I tell you in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that my Lord and God has bound these two together in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for the strength and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you can put this together in a way that nothing could put it asunder. Father, in the wonderful name of my Lord and Savior Jesus, I pray. And most gracious Father, as I pray for this, my brother, in Jesus' wonderful name, Lord God, give him the strength, the anointing, Lord God, of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Let him have a peace that surpasses all understanding in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Oh God, help him to guard over his conversation, oh God. Help her to guard over her conversation. Let her speak to him as unto the Lord, and let him speak unto her as the bone and flesh of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Let him speak words of love one to another, Father God, and strengthen and anoint, Lord God. Father, they have family members that need to see what an anointed Holy Ghost marriage is. And Father, let them be an example of this in the name of Jesus. Father, honor every mile that they drove to be here. Bless them in every mile that they go back. Oh, Lord God, let it be rich. Let it be pure. Let it be sweet, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus. Teach them what love is and how to love one another with the love of God and the love of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Love you. Amen. God bless you. She's smiling. No. Amen. Praise God. Y'all love the Lord? You believe in the power of prayer, church? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God, praise God, praise God. Y'all believe in the virtue of the Lord? You know, when the woman with the issue of blood, she came and, you know, she had a thought in her mind, if I could just get and just touch the hem of that garment. Amen. And when she touched the hem of that garment, you know, the Lord said to us, who touched me? And they go, what you mean, who touched you? Man, there's people all around us. You know, man, they're just people pressing all around us everywhere. And you say, what do you mean, who touched me? And he said, I felt virtue go out of my body. Amen. Somebody touched him. Not the kind of touch you thinking of, this kind of, somebody touched the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. There was somebody that touched the Lord, amen. And when they touched him, their problems were solved, amen. That issue that the doctors couldn't fix was taken care of, amen. Hallelujah. And did anybody feel that virtue, that same virtue of Christ this morning? Amen. Come on now, saints. Did you feel the virtue? Amen. We prayed for a woman in camp meeting. She went back out there and sat down. And the Lord showed me she didn't get what she come for. And she was sitting out there and I said, now, sister, I want you to come back up here. Amen. Laid hands on her and prayed. Something got her. Something got a hold of her that time, didn't it? I think she got, no wild Indian got a hold of her. Amen. But something set her free, brother. And let me tell you, when you've been bound by demon spirits and you get set free, you might look a little bit exuberant when that old burden and that old weight and that old shackle of sin gets lifted off of you. Something might just want to scream out, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God, because you've been set free and delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Let's sing this together.
A million years from now.
Where are you going to be in a million years, saints? I know where I'm going to be at. Hallelujah. I hate to say this, but I'm going to probably be pestering Jesus. Amen. He's saying, Brother Rob, why don't you go visit Brother Alan a minute?
Throughout eternity.
Hallelujah. You love it?
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.